Well, from the legal side, I trust you're working with your congressman in terms of legislation. That is an issue, yeah. There are many that do, and your representative may not. But let me see if I can find you the right groups if you're not able to find the right ones to plug into to get the type of legislation you're looking for. From our perspective, of course, we don't write laws up in the executive branch. You have to go, you remember our basic civics classes in elementary school. The legal system has to do that side of it. So what I would encourage you to do, of course, is work through either your lobbyist groups or those who are working the Hill to get that type of legislation introduced and let it run the course and see if we can get the right wordings. I understand your frustration, and I think there's not a soul in here that's not equally as frustrated from their particular sectors. Part of this, of course, is the education level of our own bureaucracies within government. It's taking a while to get people who really, no kidding, understand security, not only say it, but able to walk it and have worked in those levels to rise up to an appropriate position in government where they can affect their lessons learned. We've been working with, as I'm sure you can appreciate, an older generation who didn't have to deal with this when they were down in the trenches. They're doing the best they can to grapple with this new world of information security and this phenomenon over the last 10 to 12 years that has exploded kind of unexpectedly. And so we have to give them a little bit of leeway for not fully grasping what you and I can do. But what we do know is that we're getting better at it. And we just ask, you know, for the continued patience and that partnering with us to try and get it right as we make these attempts, like you've done with your 6 pages for the strategy, continue to do that. But again, on the legislative side, work that through the Congress, through the lobbying process, the lawmaking process that I'm sure you're familiar with. Push that. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay. You see, on my list of topics still to be discussed, I have a question to the panel. How can we emulate and profile these kinds of attacks against critical infrastructure, against businesses? And how can we profile them to build better defenses?
I think one of the things metrics we use when profiling different types of disclosure process is a pyramid metric. The top of the pyramid being the zeroth day when the vulnerability was first discovered. The bottom of the pyramid being when it goes public, the wider the pyramid, the more people that know about it. In the case of a black hat disclosure model, you'll have a very narrow pyramid which widens quickly at the bottom because the information will be kept within a close-knit group within the computer underground, and then maybe it gets leaked 30 days later and someone posts a bug track, and then very quickly a lot of people find out about it. Maybe that post will be with a working exploit or just a binary posted to PacketStorm. What we're trying to work on is a responsible disclosure metric which would see a more even pyramid. At the top of the pyramid, you'd still have the vulnerability being discovered in a closed, controlled environment. At some point in the pyramid, you'd have vendors such as Microsoft working on developing patches for that vulnerability. At the bottom, you'd still have public disclosure, full disclosure, whether it be a patch being released, and therefore all the information, you may as well publish a full advisory, because even with Microsoft publishing a binary patch, you could still reverse engineer the patch and see what it's doing. And whilst we're still disclosing all of the vulnerability information at the bottom of the pyramid, we're still trying to protect critical infrastructure. So maybe it would happen that the vulnerability is discovered in a controlled environment, Microsoft are notified, the patch would maybe then go to the government would patch critical infrastructure, and then perhaps either CERT or the NIPC may release it into the public domain, and I think that's something that that needs to be discussed, whether it's possible to have such a metric in today's world. It's obviously not possible to account for every single bit of information and every single vulnerability which is discovered. Microsoft recently signed several security companies, Razor Bindview at stake, into an agreement. But, I mean, since they signed into that agreement, we've seen the same number, if not more, vulnerabilities being posted to fora such as BugTrack. So I think it's definitely something that needs to be discussed, whether it is possible to have a controlled way to process vulnerabilities through the various sectors.
Yeah, let me address that. so-called agreement. It doesn't exist. Period. I would challenge you to show me. I would challenge anybody to show me anything that we have asked any customer to sign. Oh, okay. We have. Is this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We have not asked anybody to stop looking for vulnerabilities. We have not asked anybody to conceal vulnerabilities. It isn't how we work. End of story. They're continuing to look for vulnerabilities. We're continuing to patch them. Take a look, for instance, Bulletin 18 of this year, IIS. There's an at-stake vulnerability that we patched in that one. BindView, I don't think we've had one. We haven't had a report from BindView in a while. When BindView sends them in to us, we treat them just like any others. Same way with AnyFinder. We are simply not in the business of trying to conceal these things.
Did
we are in the
stake
business
come to
of trying
first?
To fix them.
Did that stake come to you first?
Yeah.
And do they
send it in through secure at Microsoft.com?
Are they bound by contract that if they disclosed it to anyone else first, then?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay. That was my question.
So another comment about the vulnerabilities. I think you mentioned the null session. Some things, you know, are put in there for functionality, and they get exploited later. So there's also things that, you know, may become hard to design out. You might call them inherent vulnerabilities. And, you know, the other part of that is we're built on top of things with inherent vulnerabilities, and we're using them. You know, TCP/IP. You know, look at a lot of routing protocols, things like that. And we talk about critical infrastructure. They're using what works or what worked at the time, and they didn't know about vulnerabilities. They wouldn't have put it in if they knew, right? So these vulnerabilities come up later, and it may be exploiting what was actually a feature. And someone just didn't think about it.
Let me give you an example. Currently, Cisco only supports SSH version 1. They have been committed for 4 years to support SSH version 2. They've yet to do that. Allows a man-in-the-middle attack.
Yeah, it's better than Telnet, which is what they had before they put that in place, right? Or web access to configure your router. So people who are worried about it, go ahead and make it a serial cable. They hook up to the console port. So they don't allow these remote access problems to happen. If you're really worried about security, you can take care of the problem to a point. You don't have to run insecure protocols and be vulnerable. But sure, yeah, you know, you can pressure Cisco, and I'm sure someday they'll come up with something better.